Good morning. Are we not so blessed to meet together in the Lord's house today? Amen. Thank you. It is a beautiful day. We have promise of it getting even warmer, and we rejoice with this warm weather that we have awaited for what felt like a long winter. I have a few announcements to make. Little Swatara is starting a text notification system to make the congregation aware of important announcements. If you are interested in getting in on that, you have there's more details on who to text and what to text in the bulletin. Please see that. Also, again, with the church keys, if you need a new one, see Pam Gerberick after the service, and old keys should be handed to John High. Also about the mother and daughter banquet, there's a little insert in the bulletin. You can see, you can sign up on the table in the narthex if you're interested. It's at 6 o'clock on May 7th. And also the men's ministry breakfast is Saturday, that's this coming Saturday. April 23rd at 7 a.m. at the Blue Star Restaurant on Route 422 in Stauschburg. And next Sunday is the last Sunday to sign up for the pictorial directory. So if you didn't sign up yet, please sign up. And I guess if you don't sign up next Sunday, you can do it online. Go to the Little Swatara website. But hopefully you signed up to get your picture taken for the picture directory. That's everything. Thanks. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I just want to highlight two other things. The Lebanon Valley Brethren Home sent us an announcement that they are doing a Mother's Day celebration and butterfly release on Saturday, April 30th at 1 o'clock at the Lebanon Valley Brethren Home at the Garden and Stoneback Pavilion. You are invited to participate by purchasing a butterfly for $25, and there are cards out on the narthex table if you're interested in participating in this event. The other thing is just a reminder that today is One Great Hour of Sharing Sunday. If you are a child that brought your fish bank along, bring it up during the children's story. We'll have a basket for you to place them in. And as a congregant, if you want to put a donation in there, you can use your regular offering envelope and add it in there, or you can get an extra envelope from out back at the narthex. Maybe the ushers would have some extra ones if someone needs a envelope for One Great Hour of Sharing. Thank you.
Thank you.
As far as joys and concerns go, I know for me, a joy is just in the wonderful, beautiful weather we have been having, and that we had the Young Family Fellowship last night, and it was actually at our house, which was a lot of fun. And I'm just so thankful to have so many young families in this church who are so great to be with, and just for everyone who came out. And of course, those who couldn't make it, we look forward to seeing you next month at another Young Family Fellowship. So that's definitely one of my joys. And are there any other joys or concerns to be made known today?
I received a text from Matt asking us to lift up the Brett Hansley family. Brett Hansley was killed in a motorcycle accident last night and leaves behind a family, a wife and five children under the age of 10. So please keep their family in our prayers.
I have a praise. I'd like to thank God for answers to a personal prayer.
When my grandma's sister Julie died, I'm sure that God and Jesus are taking very good care of Julie right now, and I hope my grandma will find deep down in her heart that Julie is always beside of her.
It's beautiful.
I have one praise. Praise God for our church family. I thank everyone for all their cards and prayers and everything they've done while Jim was going through what he went. It made him feel welcome, and I always thought that that's why I joined this church. They just make you feel welcome. And also, this is a belated thing. I thank everyone that helped with the renewal services. I was kind of in a way with Jim, and it was kind of rough, and then my dad went in the hospital, and it was a lot of things going on, and I appreciate all the help I got. I also want to pray for all those out there that are suffering from cancer, because there is just too much of it.
Just an update on Pete. He has finally finished with his antibiotic IVs, which was for 8 weeks. In 2 weeks, he gets aspiration of the fluid around his hip, and if that's clear, he'll get a new hip. So keep praying, but thank you for so much for the cards and prayers we have already received. We really appreciate it.
I have two requests for prayer today. One for the family of Richard Dix. He's the father of a good friend of ours through the marching band at the high school. Was on dialysis for many, many years, and this week decided enough was enough, and so he quit his dialysis. And then also a girl who was, we've known her since preschool. She's the same age as our daughter, Savannah. Her mother suddenly passed away on Friday very unexpectedly. The family of Pam Gress.
I want to embarrass my grandson this morning. For many years, I've driven him back and forth for piano lessons, and you've heard him twice recently here at church. He's the pianist for the jazz band for Warwick High School. And on Friday night, they took top honors for rhythm, and they took top honors all around. So I'm proud of my grandson.
Thank you so much for everyone who, I'm sorry.
I have two prayers to ask for. My sister, who is in remission from breast cancer from years ago, just found out she has more tumors located somewhere else. So please keep her in your prayers. And also my son, Danny, just is flying to Mexico today to work for about a month. And it's really not a good area. So just keep him in your prayers for a safe trip. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for sharing among your church family. Just keeping in mind that we are a family, and I just love how that is reinforced here, because we are a family, our God is our Father, we are all sisters and brothers, and it's wonderful that we can lift each other up and just always be there for each other. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we come to you today with thankful hearts, just so thankful for the wonderful blessings that you have given us, all the little blessings and the large blessings, your answers that you give to us, answers to our prayers. Sometimes they're not answers that we want to hear, sometimes they are. But either way, you still hear us, you still love us, and we praise you and thank you so much for that. Right now, God, sometimes our hearts are so heavy because there is so much sickness in this world. We probably all can list at least enough people on one hand who are battling illness right now, and or people who have died, and it hurts, God. We know that it's not the end for Christians. We know that they get to go and live with you, but it still hurts us here on earth, and we just ask you to comfort us and our hearts, comfort the hearts of the families who have lost loved ones. And just be with them and their need, and that their brothers and sisters in Christ can be there and just fill those needs, and that we can see the needs of the others, and that we can fill those needs when we are strong, help those who are weak, and then when we are weak, that those who are strong can help us, and just show us how to love each other, Lord, the way that you ask us to, command us to, and the way that you love us. Lord, we want to lift up to you in prayer just Brett Hansen and his family, just what's going on there. That is so sad, and we just ask you, we know that you are greater and stronger than any problem, and we just pray you and your presence to be with them. We lift up our church family as a family, just thanking you for how incredibly wonderful it is, and that we may just maintain that strength as a family and grow stronger as a church family, and that you and honoring you and glorifying you and doing your works, that is the important thing. And when we are strong, we can do that, Lord. We lift up Juliana's family right now and just thank you for the wisdom of a child. I know that you command us to be like a child and to have childlike faith, and that is just beautiful, that faith, and that she might just encourage us to have that kind of faith, Lord. And just be with that family right now, and Richard Dick's family and Pam's family, Danny as he's going to Mexico. We ask you to be with the Moyer family, Bob Lingle's family. We ask you to be with the Nigerian brothers and sisters right now, and just, in fact, all of those being persecuted right now in your name, just that you might protect them, that you might strengthen them, and that you might be there for them. We lift up Robert Snyder, Ruth Wanger, Lloyd and Naomi Moyer. We lift up Roberta Bayshore, Jen Emmerich, Pete Sanchez, Jess Hartraft, Christine Bayshore, Carol Scholl, Catherine and Ken Wanger, Sandy Kaufman, Tom Schwenk. We lift up William Diefenbach and so many others who are suffering right now. Just all of our sick, injured, and hurting family members, Lord, we lift them up to you, knowing that you are in charge, knowing that there is no chain unbreakable when you are with us, Lord. And we just praise you for your awesome power and know that whatever is your will be done, Lord. And we thank you for that. In your name, amen. Now we will sing a hymn, Teresa's Prayer. It's in your pamphlet, number 5.
Thank you.
For our offering thought today, I want to read James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. One day in 1952, a U.S. Air Force crew south of Guam saw islanders waving to them. The crew gathered items on the plane, packed them up, attached a parachute, and dropped the crate as they circled the island. That was the beginning of the longest sustained humanitarian airdrop in history. It's been going on now for 64 years. Last Christmas, more than 20,000 people in the remote islands of Micronesia received needed supplies in what is now called Operation Christmas Drop. The Lord does the same for us every moment. According to James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. If we truly understood this, we'd go through day, every day, muttering, "Thank you for my hot shower, clean clothes, sunny sky, school books, workplace, keeping me out of that wreck, giving me that job, hot supper, warm bed. Thank you especially for the Lord Jesus, who was airdropped from heaven to be my Savior. Every good thing comes from the Lord, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians 1:3. As we give our tithes this morning, let us remember to give thanks and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. The ushers may come forward, or no, I'm sorry. Let's pray over this offering. Lord, thank you so much for every blessing you have given us. We praise you. We know you are so good to us and that you are always with us, and we know that you promise you will never leave us, Lord. And whenever we call out to you, Lord, no matter how far we are, you will always come. And we just thank you so much for that blessing. And we ask you to bless our offering this morning, that it might go to those who are in need and that it might help them, and that you will just do with this as it is your will, Lord. And we thank you again just for you being in charge and just for the fact that we can just rest in you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Thank you. other children that would like to join us this morning? Come on up and bring your coin banks along if you have them. If you didn't bring your coin banks this week, you can bring them next week. Have a seat. This morning we're going to go for a walk on the beach. I might be pushing the seasons a little bit, huh? It's only springtime, but look up there on the screen. Can you imagine yourself walking down the beach? Good. So imagine yourself walking down that beach, and I brought a little beach along today. I got a little one here. We're going to walk down the beach, and we find on the beach, just stay sitting there and look at this, we find, what's this?
A treasure chest.
A treasure chest. What would you expect to find in a treasure chest?
Money.
Money?
A pirate treasure.
A pirate's treasure. What's that?
Snakes. I love snakes.
Snakes in your treasure. Well, maybe they're guarding the treasure. What do you think's in this treasure chest?
Maybe some gold.
Gold. What do you think's in this one? Should we look?
Yeah. Nothing.
What do you see in there?
Sand.
Ugh. Are you disappointed?
Maybe there's something buried under there.
Maybe it's buried under there. I don't know. Let's see. I don't feel anything. So let's imagine now we got this treasure chest, it's full of sand, and what do you do? Well, this man comes walking down along the beach, and he says to us, he's got this bag here, and he said, I'll give you all the treasure you can fit in your treasure chest. Now, how much can you fit in there?
Nothing.
Nothing right now, right? It's full of sand. So what do we have to do?
Dump the sand out,
right. So this is just representing, if you think about the sand being your sins, what are sins? Anybody know? Yeah, something we do that's bad. All the things we do that's bad. What do we do that's bad? Do we fight with our brothers and sisters? That's pretty bad.
My brother does it all the time. He says I do it on purpose.
Ah. Yeah, what else do we do? Maybe we disobey our parents. Those are considered sins. So that's what we're going to say the sand is. Those are our sins. Those are all the things we do bad. So they get the treasure. Now the treasure is the good stuff. The treasure is God's love and everything that God has for us. So we have to take our treasure chest and we have to dump the sand out in order to fit the treasure in. So God asks us to take our lives. He asks us to take all the bad stuff that's inside us, all our sin, and he wants us to empty that out of us to do what? To be able to fill us with everything that's good in God's love. You understand? So this morning our treasure is, what do you think's in here?
Money.
Money? Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
What's that? Candy. Our treasure this morning is Hershey Kisses.
Yeah.
So everybody may have a Hershey Kiss before you go back to your parents. And remember, this is God's love for you. And he wants to fill you with his love. Everybody take one, so we have enough for everybody. Just one. There you go. I hope there's enough in there. Oh, looks like there's plenty in there yet. Get one?
Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. If you don't have your Bibles, there is one in the pew in front of you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Pastor Matt is away at the Mooresville Church this morning performing some duties that he was asked to do there. And I'm happy to be here with you this morning and bring you God's message. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you would empty us of our sins and fill us with your love. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us the wisdom as your disciples to go out and tell the world about your love and about salvation for all through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So imagine a man in the church who claims to be a Christian. His testimony sounds legitimate, and he has a long history of church involvement. It's common knowledge, however, that this man's life also consists of a number of long-term sins. Now, a friend of yours insists that if this man was truly a follower of Christ, he would turn away from his sins. Another friend says that we all struggle with various sins and that this man's failings just happen to be some of the most highly visible sins that are frowned upon by fellow Christians. Do you think a person can be a Christian and walk in the light and continue in these sinful ways, walking in darkness? We all set goals for ourselves in life. Some are short-term goals. Some are long-term goals. Some of these goals are never even planned out in detail. But we still have a goal and are headed somewhere in that direction. Rarely do we set goals for our ethical or moral behavior. People are usually molded morally by what is deemed acceptable behavior within the culture that they exist. This is why we have different ethical behaviors in different lands. Now, this is not to say that all is not relative, because it certainly isn't, and sometimes it certainly is. All societies, no matter how different, still retain some basic moral codes
that are similar to each other, even though they may be controlled differently. We certainly may view things morally different here in Western Berks County than in, say, Center City, Reading, or Philadelphia, or even New York City, or even maybe down in the deep south of Alabama or Mississippi. Believers don't have to live in a haze of what is right or wrong. We certainly understand basic wrongs such as stealing and adultery and murder. Now, ever since God gave us the Ten Commandments, some people have been tempted to think God enjoys making people miserable, and yet he takes away their happiness by denying them earthly pleasures. The truth is, God wants to give us something better. As Christians, we are blessed with the light of the world and are called to imitate God and to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up to God for us. This is why Paul reminds us not to be conformed to the pattern of the world in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. There is a difference between good and evil, just like that of light and darkness. Just as there is a difference between living spiritually and living a carnal life, or as Paul describes it, the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Now in verses 1 and 2, Paul calls Christians to become imitators of God. Now that may sound like a lot to ask for. How can we, who have never seen God, imitate him? To imitate means to mimic or copy specific characteristics of another person. Let me use this story as an example. When our son Eric was in the first grade, he would tell us about these antics or naughty actions of a fellow classmate of his. And I'll call him Johnny for now. When we went to school that night for open house night, meet the teacher, whatever you want to call it, we were in the room and this little boy came in the room with his parents. And Mary asked Eric if that little boy was Johnny. And Eric said it was. Now, Mary and I might be guilty of passing judgment on someone here, but at this point, it was pretty obvious that little Johnny was only imitating the actions of his father, or even dressed like his father. So you get the point. Now, we may have never seen God, but we have seen him in the person of Christ, who is God in the flesh. Paul points to Christ's example as the one to follow or imitate. In this way, we all have an example of what God planned for us as human beings to be. God's divine purpose is to unite all things in Christ, and that includes our ethical living, the way we live. We try to reach the ethical lifestyle of Jesus. Now, in the days of Paul, the Jerusalem temple was still standing, and it was this great place. It was very significant to the Jews. It was a place of worship where the Jews went, a place where they sacrificed lambs. These sacrifices were required as part of the Old Covenant, as guilt offerings, and also as offerings of thanksgiving. And the smoke that filled the temple, you can imagine these lambs being burned on the altar, the smoke that filled the temple was described as a fragrance that was pleasing to God. But with the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, things changed. The ultimate place of worship, the temple, at that time, now this ultimate place of worship and sacrifice is now invested in Jesus. Not under the temple, but in Jesus and under the new covenant. Christ's motivation for this complete redemption was his love for us. And Paul urges the church to live a life motivated by Christ's example of love. It's now an ethical fragrance pleasing to God. So in the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul describes the salvation and riches that all believers in Christ possess. Now, Paul turns our attention to the fact that the old ways of living are gone. They're no longer with us. And we are a new people. God calls us to, he's called us to live together in this entity called the church. We are to live in unity and love, all to the glory of God. While serving him, we are to become like him. Now in verses 3 through 7, Paul describes how conformity to Christ contrasts to conformity of the world. The Ephesian believers They lived in a pagan city full of spiritual darkness, surrounded by immorality and ungodliness. Almost all of the believers had been saved out of this type of living, and they needed to be reminded of what it means to live in the light. Now, I hope you were paying attention to the children's story, because I'm going to go back to that. Picture yourself walking down the beach, and you find the treasure chest. Now, think about the possibilities that this treasure chest might contain. I'm taking a chance here because you daydreamers are going to go off on what's in that chest. But stick with me. You open the chest, and you discover it full of sand. No gold coins, no other treasure. Now, suppose somebody comes along, and they offer you as much gold as you can fit into that chest. That sounds great, except one thing. Of course, the chest is full of sand. So in order to accept the gold coins, you need to dump the sand out and empty the chest. Now, the same goes for sin in our lives. It's represented by this sand that's filling the chest right now. We got this temporary pleasure or excitement when we found the chest. Everybody was excited, right? You found this chest. But it's not a lasting pleasure, because when we open it, it's only filled with sand or filled with the sins in our life. We never find real happiness with the sins in our life. We can fill ourselves with whatever silly or sinful things we choose, or we can empty ourselves of sin and let God fill us up with the things that will bring us ultimate fulfillment. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Paul goes on in verse 8. He tells us that once we were full of darkness, but now we have light from the Lord. Darkness, of course, is the absence of light and describes the life here of an unbeliever. It's a life void of truth and virtue and moral things. If you go back to Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 53, in this passage, Jesus is being arrested and he addresses the chief priest by saying this, "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Now, the power of darkness is interpreted here as Satan and his demons. And then you go to Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 12, and Jesus speaks of the outer darkness or the eternal darkness. And this is the metaphor for damnation in ancient Jewish texts. And in John, the 3rd chapter, we read, "We are told that sinners love the darkness because their deeds are evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light. They don't come to the light, lest their deeds would be exposed." This is the very darkness from which salvation in Christ delivers sinners. But the pure light of God's word exposes all the secrets of sin. God calls us out of this darkness and into the light. And it's by God's saving grace that our sins are forgiven, and we can walk in the light each and every day. Now let me compare how we react between darkness and light with a short story that I got from the Women's Devotional Bible. There was a man caught in an elevator in a power outage in New York City. There were 7 people in the elevator, and they were all strangers. Nobody knew each other. Now at first, in this pitch black darkness of the elevator car, everybody panicked. And they began talking at once. Then this man, he remembered he had a small flashlight in his pocket, and he turned it on. This fear and panic disappeared from everybody. During the next 45 minutes of being stuck in the elevator, these 7 people who were complete strangers became pretty good friends. They were laughing and telling jokes and stories, and some were even singing to one another. Verse 8 says that we are that flashlight. It doesn't say we're like light. It says we are light. And just as that flashlight draws power from its batteries, we draw power from the Son of God. As light, we dissipate fear. We make it go away. We bring relief and we lift spirits. Now, we don't need to be this big 6D cell battery or flashlight to be effective to one another. We just need to be a little flashlight. But the thing with being the flashlight is we need to be on. So today, let's pursue that which is right and good and truthful by shining through the darkest of circumstances. Don't keep the switch off or hold back as if your batteries run down. Our source is God Himself. So we need to stay on and stay bright. Finally, in verses 15 through 20, Paul writes to these recent converts who are living in this evil culture. These Ephesian believers were surrounded by pagans who lived for the moment. They rejected the thought of God and of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their society focused on trivial things of the world, and they indulged in fleshly whims and desires. And Paul urgently reminds the Ephesian believers to be careful how they live, and not to live like the fools, but like those who are wise. They should not act thoughtlessly, but they should understand what the Lord wants them to do. Don't be drunk with wine, as that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He tells them to interact with one another, to worship the Lord, to give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus. Now, when I was teaching senior high class in Sunday school, I always like to try and take the scripture that we read and put it to today's thoughts, today's the way we live today. And so what does this mean for us today, here and now? But please remember, I'm not an ordained or licensed minister, and I haven't even had any, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I hope I didn't misunderstand or misinterpret the passage at all here today. But this is what my take on this is. I love this area we live in. I love the rich culture and the heritage brought forth by our forefathers. I love the people in the community. I love my friends and my family, and I love this church family. But I believe as Christians, we live in a society that is not unlike the one that the Ephesian believers were subject to. I believe we are part of a world full of sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscene stories, foolish talk, foul language, some coarse jokes now and then, drinking and drugs. We're subject to most of these things almost everywhere we look and places we go. From TV to the movies to definitely the internet, magazines, people on the street, people in our workplace, friends, and possibly even our families. This list can go on and on. Think about it. We tend to live like fools at times. We act thoughtlessly without considering the real consequences of our actions, and without thinking about what God wants us to do. At times I find myself being caught up in the world and not being of the world that God would want me to be. So as Christians, what do we do? Where do we go from here? I believe that if the Apostle Paul were alive and living here today with us, he'd be writing this same letter to Christians in the present time, not just here in Berks County or Lebanon County, but all over the world. I think he'd be making this same plea for us to get out of the darkness and into the shining light for God. He'd be calling us to be the disciples God meant us to be. So, be careful how you live. Live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Imitate God in everything you do. Live your life filled with love, following the example of Jesus. Live as people of the light, God's light. Keep your switch on. Empty yourself of sin and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Make music to the Lord in your heart and give thanks for everything to God in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
For our benediction this morning, I would like to share the words of Paul from the verses 18, 19, and 20. Go, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.